Isn't the Bible fascinating? You know another book like this one? That can bring about the discussion that we just had? And still we don't know it all. Great book. We continue our study of the Bible. And we turn to our text. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. Verse 13. Now I know that we read this each time that we meet. But you can't read the Bible too often. Did you know that? And then we have some educators here, homeschoolers and teachers in the public schools. There's an old definition. Education is repetition. Did you learn the alphabet the first time you look at it? I remember my dad had that alphabet and he put it on the wall and he said to me, Arthur, this is A. When I come home, you ought to know A. And the next day, B, and in about 26 days, I learned them all. Repetition. And so, when we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, you say, why did we read it? To fix it in our minds. Or we believe it and we know it. But there's nothing like having something reaffirmed. Verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but that it is in truth the word of God. That's precious. And I know I repeat myself many times. My wife used to criticize me about that. She would say, you should get some new illustrations and some new expressions. You say the same thing over. This is precious. That's all I can say. Lovely. Now, that's our text. Let's turn, please, to the scripture from which we are studying. Psalm number 9. Oh, I'm sorry, 19. Psalm 19. Verses 7 through 9. And we notice that each of these expressions describe the Word of God in a different aspect. The law of the Lord, that refers to the Bible, is perfect. Do you know any other book that's perfect? I think of those medical books. You know, you go in the doctor's office and you see those books 3 and 4 inches thick. Those aren't perfect. And to try to keep things up to date, they have what we call journals. The books are about 10 years behind, and the journals about 1 year behind, and then they have little pamphlets. They're a couple of weeks behind. But never perfect. And you are holding in your hand a perfect book. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, the testimony of the Lord. There are testimonies in this book. Is sure. Well, how many things are sure? How many things do you know are really sure? We say death and taxes. I may not die. So that's not sure. The statutes, the precepts, and that's what we want to talk about today, of the Lord are right. You know anything else that's right? That's why we have so much trouble in the courts. Because we make mistakes. And sometimes you read of people who have been placed in prisons and ultimately it was found that they were innocent. And then you read of people, or you remember this recent case where they transferred the, what we call a lung heart transplant. Put the transplant in this child and it happened to be the wrong one. Oh my, what a mistake. But the statutes of the Lord are right. Rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure. The fear of the Lord is clean. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous. Oh, what a series. And today we want to talk about the precepts. The statutes of the Lord are right. Now I'm going to ask you to turn with me to a few scriptures that will form the basis for our discussion of statutes and precepts. Psalm 119, please. Verse 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. Verse 26. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Verse 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Verse 68, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Verse 104, thus far we see that the statutes of the Lord are to be taught. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Verse 108, Rather, 124, I'm sorry. Deal with thy servant according to thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Verse 135. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Teach me thy statutes. Verse 171. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. The statutes are to be taught. We won't turn to it, but in Isaiah we read of the statutes of men. Teach me. And that brings us to our subject today, spiritual education. Oh, a lot is being said about education in this nation. And rightly so. And the president says that he's very interested in education. And he said, no child should be left behind. And we have some lovely children in this meeting, and it's my prayer that none will be left behind, and we'll all be in heaven together. Amen. Spiritual education. Now, as I said, here's one here. Another one is absent. And then you had, many of you are home school teachers. We want to talk about teachers a little bit, very little. They are important. Oh, I've had some great teachers. I think of one man, he taught Latin. Oh, he was a good teacher. every day for the term. Dr. Begg would come in, review yesterday's lesson, take you through today's lesson, and start you on tomorrow's lesson. And he was a good teacher. He could teach. Then I had another one, Professor Neilinger. He taught music. Oh, it was a joy to go to his class, to listen to him expound. Who is our teacher? Who's our teacher? Gospel of John, chapter 14. Spiritual education. The importance of the teacher. Chapter 14, verse 26. When the Comforter, the Helper, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, oh, look at this now, he shall teach you all things. What a teacher. He must know a lot. He can teach you all things. Chapter 16, please. Verses 12 and 13. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. What qualifies the Spirit to be our teacher? Who is he? How much does he know? Thank you. What a teacher. He knows everything. Have you ever had a teacher that didn't know everything? Oh, I remember in one class there, this man was teaching anatomy. Had his MD and had his PhD and some other letters behind his name. And one student pointed out an error. Oh, my. Oh, my. He made a mistake. The great Albert Einstein, a brain. Wasn't he? I listened the other day, and one of his students pointed out that he made an error in arithmetic. The great Albert Einstein. Who is our teacher? How many mistakes does he make? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, pardon me, before we get there, Acts chapter 5. Verses 3 and 4. Who is our teacher? Acts chapter 5, verse 3. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? He lied to the Holy Ghost. And to keep back part of the price of the land. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied to man, but unto God. One verse he said you lied to the Holy Spirit. The next one he said you lied to God. And who is the Holy Spirit? God. You want a better teacher? Now, I say this humbly. How much does he know? 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 2. How much does our teacher know? First Corinthians, chapter 2. I don't know why I have so much trouble with all my Bibles. The static electricity, I don't know. Maybe some of you that are advanced in physics can tell me why my Bibles collect so much static. And the pages that I want to separate won't separate. All right, there we are. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. Who is the Holy Spirit? How much does he know? Verse 11. What man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so. Oh, note this, please. How much does the Spirit know? The things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Oh my. He knows the things of God. He's God. Good teacher, right? Fine teacher. Now, we will not say any more about the teacher. But we want to look this afternoon at the pupil. You see, you have the teacher. You have the methods, which we may speak about on Wednesday. And you have the pupil. What about the pupil? John chapter 14, please. Or better still, Mark chapter 3. We'll get to 14. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. There goes some more static electricity. All right. Mark chapter 3, verse 13. He goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he appointed 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth. That they should. What did he appoint 12 to be with him? So that he could teach them. He chose 12. And you knew, no, we do that in education. In the area in which I worked. I think of one man, and this is done often, who took a young lady with him. He was an outstanding surgeon. And he chose her, and wherever he went in that hospital, and whatever he did, she was with him. To learn. And I remember in my own case, I was assigned to a certain area of surgery. And I said to the one to whom I was assigned, I said, but there are no books on this subject. There's nothing written on this subject. How am I supposed to learn it? You know what he said? Watch me. The Lord chose them to be with him, that by being with him, they may learn. Now, John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Verse 7. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and you don't know me? What? He was there with the Master, he heard the Master, and he saw the Master, and he didn't know him. He was a slow learner. How fast are we learning? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The pupil has a responsibility to learn. Philip was a slow learner. Are we learning? Verse 1, chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal or fleshly, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with solid food, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it. My. Slow learners. Taking in the things of... Well, let me ask you something, beloved. How long have you been saved? And I have to ask myself the same question. How much do you know? You learn. We send our children to school. We homeschool. And we expect our children to know more today than they did a week ago. How about it spiritually? Do I know more today of the Lord and His Word than I knew last Sunday? Or am I a slow learner? Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. At last I found it. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Of whom I have many things to say and hard to be understood, seeing ye are slow of hearing. For when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. Oh my, they were slow learners. Am I a slow learner? I ask again. Do I know any more about God and His Word this Sunday than I knew last Sunday? We send our children to school and we want them to learn. We want them to be at the head of the class, don't we? We like those prize winners way up there. Children, learn, learn, learn. Child of God, am I learning? And now with that, let's look at a man who learned. We've looked at this before. Let's look again. The book of Ezra, please. Chapter 7. Book of Ezra. Chapter 7. Spiritual education. The best teacher in the universe. How about us as pupils? Ezra chapter 7, verse 6. This Ezra went up from Babylon. He was a skilled scribe. Oh, I like that. A skilled scribe. Many of you, if not all, well, I know there's some of you, have heard us speak of Dr. Rolls. And those that knew him must admit he was a skilled scribe. It was my pleasure to spend some time with him. And he told me that when he was saved, I think it was around the age of 17, he went to a Bible reading. And they asked him to read a verse from the book of Mark. And he couldn't find Mark in the Bible. And he said to me, I determined that I'm going to know this book and find every verse they call on. And he did that. Those of us that knew him, you knew how he knew the scriptures. How do you think he did? He also told me that he went to a hardware store. Now, you younger ones don't know what a hardware store is. Because they have all the hardware in those big places there, and you go to a little department. But when I came up, a hardware store was a store separated and by itself. You bought nails and screws and hammers and things of that kind, you know. Dr. Rolls went into a hardware store and ordered some carpentry instruments and tools. And he told me he was impressed with this young man. Every article that he asked for, this boy knew where to find it. You know what he said? I'm going to learn my Bible that way. Skills in the Word of God. And you learn your Bible that way by study. There's an old story told of a class of boys, and one exceeded all the others. Now, this was in the days before most of you were born. And they asked this fellow, how do you explain the fact that you are so far ahead of all these other peoples? You know what he said? They spend their money on alcohol, I spend mine on oil. He said, what's oil got to do with it? An oil lamp. And while they were drinking, he was studying with the aid of an oil lamp. He applied himself. Come now to verse 10. Ezra prepared his heart to study the law of God. You want to be skilled? You got to study. And may I suggest, beloved, don't wait until you're ready to retire to take the Bible to study. The Bible was not meant to put you to sleep. You've got to be awake to learn the Bible. Fully awake. He prepared his heart to study the law of God. Now notice what next. To do it and to teach it. That's the order. You do it first and then you teach it. You remember the father that said to his son, don't do what I do, do what I say. That's the wrong order. You are to do it and then teach it. Question came up one day, what's the best edition of the Bible? And they called off all these different editions and authorizations and whatnot. And then someone concluded, the best edition of the Bible is a believer who's doing it. How's that? And that's very important. He began to do and to teach. Now let's turn to a scripture that we looked at in our Sunday school class. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Verse 1. I thought our brother was going to touch on this, but this was not in his line of teaching. Acts 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus, what, began to do and to teach. Which did he do first? He did it first, and then he taught it. Example. We read in 1 Timothy, be an example of the believer. I told you about my instructor when I complained that there were no books on the subject. He said, watch me. And we should be examples to those around. One of the basics of spiritual education is when we learn to live what we learn. I have a little poem here, which I've always liked. You see, we learn largely through two ways, by eye gate and ear gate. Most of my learning is by eye gate. I do some by ear game. But I had a classmate, he was most remarkable. Gordon King. We were in the dormitory. You know what he would do? Clear his desk of all books, all papers, and put on that desk some of those niceties like we had in the fellowship time. Little cakes and little candies and soft drinks. Gordon King would bathe, get his shower, put on his pajamas, get in bed, cover himself up to his neck, open the door. Anybody could come in and help himself. One requirement, read to me. That's all. And he would close his eyes and you would read, and he'd say, wait, stop, read that again. I want to tell you that the next morning he knew more than the fellow that did the reading. He learned through Airgate. And I think of another fellow. I was lecturing to a group of students, and I noticed that he seemed to be sleepy. His eyes were closed. He didn't take any notes. And at the end of the lecture, I went to him and said, are you well? I noticed that you didn't take any notes, and you seemed to be asleep. Are you well? He said, no, I'm fine. I said, but you seem to be asleep. You didn't take any notes. He said, I can tell you everything you said in your lecture. He learned through Airgate. But most of us learn through Eyegate and a little through Airgate. And I have a little poem here that I like. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. Do you get it? See a sermon than hear it any day. I'd rather one would walk with me than merely show the way. The eyes a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but ample example is always clear. The best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see the good in action is what everybody needs. I can soon learn how to do it if you let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. Isn't that true? The lectures you deliver may be very wise and true. But I'd rather get my lesson by observing what you do. Reminds me. I once heard an outstanding piano player, outstanding pianist, and he said, never go to a piano teacher who can't play the piano. It's not so much what he says, it's what he does with his fingers. And when you see what he does with his fingers, you say, I got to do that too. We are to be examples of the believers. We are to do and then teach. I'd rather get my lesson by observing what you do. I may misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. And then I have another one here. My neighbor's Bible. I am my neighbor's Bible. He reads me when we meet. Today he reads me in my home, tomorrow on the street. He may be relative or friend or slight acquaintance be. He may not even know my name, yet he's reading me. And they're reading you in school, and they're reading you in the store. You ladies know you go to the supermarket, and that checkout counter knows before you put the things on the platform, she knows almost everything that you have there. She knows you by your repeated activity. You don't have to tell her what you have. She has a good idea. She's reading you. And beloved, the neighbors are reading. Our children are reading us. Did you know that? And we are the only Bible that some people will read. I have a number of these. Here's another one. The eyes are better pupil and more willing than the ear. Counsel may be confusing, but example is always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see God's word in action is what everybody needs. Isn't that true? He began to do it and to teach it. I'm about finished. That's step one in spiritual education. Now, don't be like the little boy, or rather the father of the little boy. Daddy, what is a Christian? And Daddy began to explain and expound on what a Christian is. And after 1.5 hour, Daddy stopped. And little Sonny looked up in his daddy's face and asked, Daddy, have I ever seen a Christian? It's not what we say, it's what we do. Ezra, the Lord, began to do and to teach. Spiritual education. We learn it from the book, we apply ourselves, and then we put into practice the things that we learn. Not so much talk. I remember I was in South Carolina once, and a sister had just moved there, and she said to me, you know, my neighbors are very nosy. I said, well, what do you mean? She said, my neighbor said to me the other day, I notice that every time you go to church, you wear a hat. They're looking at you. I remember in New York, we had a couple of visitors there. And one man said to me, the men in your church are different from the men in other churches. I said, what do you mean? In other churches, when the men come out, the first thing they do is light up a cigarette. Your men don't do that. They're looking. They're the only Bible that some people will read. We do well to do. And when the time comes, then we can talk. Number 221, please. And I noticed this hymn is written by Brother Alfred P. Gibbs. I never met him. There are some here who knew him. I believe our Brother George knew him. I am told that he was a great expounder of the Word. He was a great writer of the Word. And here we have him as a great writer of music. Precious, holy Bible. Oh, beloved, let us study it. Let us learn it and then live it.